Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Chicago's top federal prosecutor allegedly had contact with grand jurors in the tainted Broadview 6 case. An attorney for Oak Park Village trustee Brian Straw made the explosive claim during a hearing today at the Dirksen Federal Courthouse. Charges against Straw and the three other remaining defendants were dropped last week amid revelations that prosecutors acted improperly during the grand jury process. A trial in the case was supposed to start today. Instead, defense lawyers are pushing to preserve communications among the feds as the possibility of sanctions looms. An Indiana state trooper is hospitalized and a suspect is dead following a traffic stop in Hammond. The Sun-Times reports the trooper, two Lake County, Indiana deputies, and a Hammond officer stopped a vehicle around midnight Tuesday just east of the Illinois state line. Police say a shootout erupted and the suspect, 34-year-old Aaron Barnes of Gary, was hit and pronounced dead at the scene. The trooper was wearing a bulletproof vest and was transferred to the University of Chicago Medical Center for surgery. Police say a passenger in the suspect vehicle was arrested. No other injuries were reported. More than 146 million square feet of warehouse space has been built in the Chicago metro area since 2000. That's roughly the size of 1,400 Home Depot stores. But the warehouse boom has come with a cost. My WBEZ colleague Cam Rodriguez reports.
The warehouses make next-day delivery possible, but one of the biggest impacts on residents are the trucks that travel to the facilities. More warehouses means more trucks, and more trucks means more crashes. In recent years, an average of 550 people were injured annually in truck crashes in areas near Chicago with lots of warehouses. Meanwhile, crashes involving other types of vehicles on roads around warehouses dropped sharply. As developers continue to build, communities have focused on special police units and traffic calming measures to keep trucks at bay. Cam Rodriguez, WBEZ News.
The Illinois Commerce Commission has approved a settlement that'll give Peoples Gas and North Shore Gas customers $125 million in bill credits over the next 3 years. Attorney General Kwame Raoul announced the settlement late last month. He alleged Peoples imprudently incurred costs during the ongoing project to replace underground cast iron and ductile iron pipes between 2017 and 2023. Peoples and North Shore serve about a million customers in northeastern Illinois. For people caring for loved ones with dementia, even simple outings or activities can start to feel complicated. This often leads to participating in activities less and retreating more into isolating behaviors. Memory cafes are free events at public spaces like libraries where caregivers and their loved ones with dementia can socialize together. Molly Conley is the executive director at The Village Chicago and coordinates the Memory Cafe at the Lincoln Park Library. She spoke to WBEZ's In the Loop.
Memory cafes are that answer to isolation and an opportunity for friendship and hopefully a little joy in a small group. I think a lot of great things can happen in small groups. And so it's a welcoming space. It's inclusive, non-judgmental.
The nonprofit Alzheimer's Association estimates about 250,000 seniors age 65 and older are living with Alzheimer's in Illinois. You're listening to The Rundown. The pen and the pulpit. Those are the tools that Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says he and Pope Leo XIV possess to push back against the, quote, godforsaken policies of the Trump administration. And that's the message Johnson is rehearsing as he takes flight to Rome this week and ascends to the highest stage of his political life, a one-on-one meeting with the world's most famous Chicagoan, the Pope. WBEZ's Mariah Wolfel has more.
At Peach's Restaurant on Chicago's South Side, Mayor Brandon Johnson is shaking hands over turkey bacon and biscuits as he prepares for his send-off.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Johnson makes his way to the back of the room, where he addresses a crowd of church elders and everyday Chicagoans who seem elated that he's going to see the Pope. He tells them how he's been preparing.
And what I began to think about was how the Pope has used his pulpit to really shine a light on the conditions that exist around the globe. But just as he is using his pulpit, I'm using the executive order pen to protect all of Chicago.
In his first ever trip to Rome, Johnson plans to thank Pope Leo for his pushback against the U.S. war in Iran, his calls for peace in Gaza, and criticism of federal immigration policies. In Chicago, even Johnson's harshest critics are praising this trip.
I hope the mayor has a wonderful experience.
That's Alderman Raymond Lopez, a strident mayoral opponent.
Rome is the epicenter and original church, and I hope that helps guide him spiritually upon his return back to the city of Chicago.
As for his allies, the only criticism they have is Johnson's plan to bring the Sox-supporting Pope a Cubs hat. Johnson confirmed that sports is on the agenda. He won't be trying to convert the Pope to a Cubs fan, though Johnson may ask for a blessing for his Northside team. And
I do know one thing that we're all on the same page about, is that the Pope believes, like I believe, that the Bears belong in Chicago.
Johnson heads to Rome in the last week of a Springfield legislative session in which he has tried to thwart a plan that would incentivize a Bears move to the suburbs. He's also leaving after Memorial Day weekend, a period that is historically violent in Chicago. Here's Alderman Brian Hopkins, who chairs the council's Public Safety Committee and works closely with the police superintendent.
Well, as long as he's not taking the superintendent with him, we'll be fine. I don't think you could blame the fact that the mayor went to see the Pope for the fact that a teen trend occurred.
The meeting also comes as Johnson attempts to shore up his political base in the face of what's sure to be a tough re-election battle, jam-packed with opponents. Though it's unclear whether the mayor gains anything politically from his trip to the Vatican. Tom Bowen is a Democratic strategist who worked for two of Johnson's predecessors and has been critical of the mayor.
Given his poor standing with Chicago voters, he does need a miracle to turn it around. So seeking out the Chicago-born Pope is a pretty good one.
In a city where politics and faith are deeply intertwined, Johnson is no stranger to speaking about the intersection of the two. On Sunday, it was clear that this largely symbolic meeting with the Pope will be deeply meaningful to Johnson, the son of a preacher. As he spoke, the widow of a civil rights icon, Reverend Jesse Jackson, sat beside him. Jackson was a godfather of using faith as a tool and the black church as a home for political organizing.
And I'm going to do my best to channel the great humanitarian and civil rights leader, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Yeah.
Johnson says his message will include the idea that the government needs to codify the humanitarian efforts of faith leaders, hence the pen and the pulpit. Aside from that, he says this trip will highlight one simpler idea.
That everything dope, including the Pope, comes from the greatest freaking city in the world, the city of Chicago.
Johnson is expected to meet the Pope on Thursday. Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ News.
An air quality alert has been issued for the Chicago metro area and northwest Indiana. National Weather Service says that will last through Wednesday. We'll see partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the low 60s, partly cloudy for our Wednesday with highs in the lower 80s, but we'll be in the lower 70s by the lake. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.